Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. I am so excited to be here today. And I also miss you all so much. I'm missing your hugs and your smiles, but I'm grateful that I can be here and that we can still do this together, even if it is virtually. So right now, I just want us to get comfortable, have a nice, comfortable position. And as you're comfortable here, place your hands either facing up or down on your knees. Allow the chin to slightly come down, closing the eyes. Take a moment now to just release. Let go of anything that happened earlier today. Release anything that's to come and allow yourself to be present in this very moment. Together, let's take a deep inhale, filling up the belly. You allow the breath to rise up the chest, shoulders back, and then vocally exhale, release. Again, slowly inhale, fill up the belly, and as the breath rises, begin to watch the breath, and then vocally exhale. Allow your breath to take you deeper within. Take another deep inhale, filling up the breath, allowing the breath to rise up, and then vocally exhale. I want to take a moment now, as you've settled down, letting go of anything that's standing in your way, and with an open heart, I want us to take this moment to thank God for this very moment, for all of the blessings that we are given, and for the blessings that are going to take some time before we can truly see them and understand them. With an open heart, we come humbly and trusting God fully that we are always being taken care of. Take this moment now to let go of any doubt, any resentment that you may be holding on to, any fear, anything that does not serve you, and let it go. Instead, open your heart up now and welcome God's grace in. Allow the peace to settle you fully. Allow it to fill you up with joy and love. Allow yourself to be in His presence fully. Take another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up. And then seal the lips, exhale through the nose. Take this moment to honor yourself. Take this moment to honor how hard you've been working. How hard it may be right now to put a smile on your face, to be trusting and fully believe that everything will be okay. But honor yourself, because every day is a new day, a new beginning full of opportunities. And honor yourself for trusting in God, for trusting in yourself, for trusting that tomorrow will be a better day. Together, let's take another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back, seal the lips, exhale through the nose. Grounding yourself now. Allow the peace to settle in. Allowing yourself to feel light. Allowing yourself to feel safe in this very moment. Take this moment to be with yourself, creating space to allow God's grace to enter, to allow His peace to fully enter your being. Enjoy this peace. Enjoy the joy that you feel. And take a moment to acknowledge that your peace is within you. Your peace is not determined by what happens in the exterior world. Your true world is within. So know now that no matter what is going on in the outside, you can decide to stay in peace, to stay in joy, to be in God's grace at all times. This is the choice that you have. This is your right, your inherent right that you have because you are a child of God. And that is a blessed miracle. Take another deep inhale, filling up your belly, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back, seal the lips, exhale through the nose. Connecting back with your breath. Let anything go that is getting in the way of your peace, that is getting in the way of your joy. Choose now to consciously let it go. And now decide to pick up the lens of love, of peace, of harmony. And choose to see through that lens. Together, let's take another deep inhale, this time very slowly, as if you were breathing through a straw. Fill up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up the chest. I want you to hold this breath. And as you exhale through the nose, I want you to really let go whatever is weighing on your shoulders. Let it go, my friends. You no longer have to have the weight of the world on your shoulders. Allow yourself to be light. Allow yourself to be free. Allow yourself to trust in God because He is always with you, protecting you and guiding you. Take a moment now to rest in this peace, to rest in this joy, to rest in the love that you feel. Taking another deep inhale, slowly bringing your awareness back in. Gently exhaling. My friends, you are all so loved. You are so much more than the titles that you hold in this exterior world. You are more than the things that you do. You are God's miracle. Find peace in this. Find joy in this. Feel the beautiful power in knowing this. that you are more than this vessel. You are this beautiful soul that is always connected with our supreme being, God. Whenever you are ready, gently blinking open the eyes, taking your time. My friends, may peace and grace always be with you. Amen. And so much love. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. So happy to be with you today. And I'm so glad that you're tuning in with us here at Heartway. First and foremost, before I even begin, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who have continued to give sacrificially in support of our vision here at Heartway. I know that we are living in very difficult times, but we are so grateful that because of your generosity, we can continue to do the kind of things that we're doing to make a difference and to impact people's lives. And so thanks. And if you want to continue to give, you can do so at heartwaychurch.com/give, or you can text your dollar amount to 84321. Now, last year, I introduced something into our community called a rule of life. And the idea of a rule of life actually began in some of the earliest Christian monastic communities. And the whole point of having a rule of life is to have a shared set of values or practices that a community can unite around. So the word rule in Latin literally means pattern. So our rule of life is the pattern of living that we have decided to commit ourselves to as a community. And now more than ever is the time for us to refocus on what our rule of life is here at Heartway, because everything is looking very different now. We're not able to gather together in person. And so church is taking on a new and unique kind of form. And it can be very easy for us to lose sight of what all of this is really all about. For a lot of communities right now, the name of the game is, let's just produce content for people. And of course, there's a place for that, right? It brings me joy to be able to bring uplifting content to you during this time that can feed your soul. However, our primary purpose here at Heartway is not to provide content for religious consumers. Our purpose is to build community. We exist to serve others. We are here to take people on a journey of self-discovery and transformation. The earliest disciples of Jesus were called followers of the way. We are followers of a particular way of being in the world. That's what really this whole thing is all about. And yet somehow, what began as a dynamic way of life ended up being fossilized into a static system of beliefs. And so Christianity, for most of its history, has been very, very dogmatic. And here's the thing about dogma. Dogmas are conceptual prisons that are rooted in the erroneous belief that our minds, that reason, that the intellect can encapsulate God and reality and truth. Jesus did not emphasize dogma. Jesus emphasized love. Love transcends all sorts of dogmas and beliefs and opinions. Love is what everything is all about. Love is the heart of God. The word religion actually means to rebind or to relink. Unfortunately, most religion hasn't been about binding people together. It's been about excluding people who don't believe the same things that we do. Well, that's not how it is for us at Heartway. What is it then that binds us together if it's not a set of beliefs or a set of dogmas? Well, what binds us together is this list of shared values and practices that I'm going to share with you, our rule of life. And so I want to go through the first five items on this rule of life with you today. And then next week, we'll do a couple more. And hopefully this can be a refresher to you that'll remind you what our identity is as a community, why we exist, and what this whole thing is really all about. So let's start with the first one. Number one, walking fully in the path of Jesus without denying the legitimacy of other paths that God may provide humanity. So every religion has both an external form and an internal core. The external form of all religions has to do with the beliefs, the stories, the symbols, the traditions, the rituals that certain religions have. And this, of course, is where we find our differences amongst the religions of the world, because it is our beliefs and our rituals and our traditions that are most tied to our culture and our context and our language and our background. So, of course, the externals are always going to be different. But the internal core of all religion is the same. The internal core isn't about the expression, the outward expression, it's about the inward experience of the sacred. The issue becomes when we begin to absolutize the external form of our religion and we say these beliefs, these dogmas, these rituals, these traditions, these ways of understanding God and life and reality are the only right way. That inevitably leads to exclusivism and divisiveness. For us here at Heartway, we want to fully embody the Christian tradition and Christian symbols and Christian stories and rituals. We have made those our own, while at the same time being willing to acknowledge that God can be experienced in a variety of different ways, that we do not have a monopoly on the truth. There's this wonderful story about a desert father by the name of Abba Anthony. One day, Abba Anthony was with his students, and he asked them to explain to him the meaning of a particular passage of scripture. And he brought up a really obscure passage of scripture from the book of Leviticus. And so when he presented this scripture and he asked for its meaning, all of the students of his started debating, and they started arguing, and they started giving their explanations, one after the other after the other. And then when they would look at Abba Anthony, he wouldn't say anything to them. After they were done talking, he looked at one student who had been quiet the whole time. And he said, "Hey, what about you? What do you think that this text means?" And the student replied by saying, "I don't know." And Abba Anthony said, "This person has found the way because he said, 'I don't know.'" Where did we ever get this idea that we can completely and totally figure out God and lock God down into our systems of belief and theology? God is mystery. St. Augustine is the one who said that God transcends even the mind. Thomas Aquinas said God surpasses the intellect. The moment we speak a word about God, we're already reducing God down to our own level of understanding. So if God cannot be captured by words, that means that all of our religious language is metaphorical and symbolic and limited in its scope. And knowing this allows us to expand our notion of what truth is. God is truth, which means truth cannot be captured by our mind. The truth is love. Those who know God are those who love God. Which means truth is not conceptual. Truth is experiential because the truth is love. So yes, there may be people who do not know Jesus, but the Spirit of God has been at work in this universe from the very beginning of time. And who are we to say that people from other cultures and other languages and other backgrounds and other geographical locations have not had genuine experiences of this Spirit who is love within their own heart? Just because they speak about this mystery and talk about this mystery differently than we do. So what I like to say is, at Heartway, we hold our beliefs with an open hand instead of with a closed fist. Here's the second one. Listening to God's Spirit through daily prayer and meditation, the study of our ancient scriptures, and the cultivation of mindfulness. So this is about the importance of implementing spiritual practices into our everyday life. Sometimes we refer to these as spiritual disciplines. I like to speak of it as habits of grace. Habits of grace. All of us need habits, disciplines, practices that can keep us rooted and grounded and connected to God on a moment-to-moment basis. In the Christian East, a lot of the monastics would make usage of something they called arrow prayers. These arrow prayers were short prayers, either a short word or phrase that they would constantly repeat to themselves in unison with their breath all throughout their day as a way of keeping their mind in the presence of God, as a way of keeping their mind focused in one place, as a way of keeping themselves in a state of God awareness and Christ consciousness. There's a story actually about a monk within our own Christian tradition who was visited by two demons while he was praying in his room. And these demons started to toss him around like a ball in the air. And yet the text says that despite all of this, they were incapable of distracting this monk from his fiery prayer, this inner prayer of the heart, this constant repetition of the name of Jesus or the name of God, which is what they would often do. Later on, this same monk, as he was praying, was visited by two angels. The demons represent bad thoughts. The angels represent good thoughts. And these angels were speaking of the divine mysteries and speaking wonderful things about God. And yet the story goes that he did not pay them any attention because he did not want to be distracted from that which was better. See, the point is not simply for us to say prayers, but for us to become prayer, for our entire life to become a meditation. The goal is for us to stand every day before God with our mind in our heart, to keep ourselves in a state of stillness so that we can listen to God, so that we can be attentive to God's Spirit in our life. The more present we become to the presence of God, the more peace begins to flood our soul. This is why meditation or centering prayer can be so life-giving, because as you commit yourself to these practices daily, you begin to discover who you really are. You come to the realization that you are so much more than just this body. You come to the recognition that you are not your thoughts. You are the awareness behind your thoughts. You are the stillness behind your thoughts. You are the space that makes room for all thought and all emotion. So as you commit yourself to prayer, to meditation, to the studying of the ancient scriptures, to the practice of mindfulness and present moment awareness, you come to see and discern that which is temporary and transient from that which is eternal. All of your thoughts and your emotions are transient and temporal, which means they are not what is ultimately true. Even though all of your thoughts and your emotions are valid, and even though all of them belong in the human experience, none of them are an accurate reflection of what reality truly is, because it's temporary. Who you are at your core, your true nature, that is eternal. You are the loving awareness behind all thought and all emotion, which means you can make space for the full range of human emotion within you without becoming the emotion. Instead, you learn how to meet all of your thoughts and all of your emotions as they rise up within your consciousness with love and with understanding. And you allow every thought and every emotion to bring you back to this place of stillness within. The stillness which is your deepest and truest nature. Silence is the language of God. Everything else is a poor translation. St. John of the Cross is actually the one who said, prayer is about remaining in loving awareness of God. Here's the next one. Number three is seeing Christ in everyone and in everything with no exceptions, including the earth and its ecosystems, the Christian and non-Christian, the human and non-human. This one's big. The primary goal of all Christian experience is to be able to look out at life from this deeper level of perception, to be able to see God in everything and to be able to see everything in God. You and I and everything all around us, we were not just created by God. We are made of God. God is our deepest essence. God is our true nature. God is the very center of our soul. And everything that you see is the self-expression of God. Some of us, however, are just not aware of it. This is why one of the primary metaphors that is used in the New Testament throughout the Gospels is the blind being able to see, or those who are asleep waking up, because that's the path of spirituality. It's waking up, it's becoming aware, it's finally seeing and recognizing what has been true about you and life all along. Think about your breath. All of us, over the last 20 minutes, have been breathing. We haven't chosen to breathe. We're not trying to breathe. The breathing is kind of just happening by itself, almost like we're being breathed. Well, whether you're aware that you're breathing or not doesn't change the fact that the breathing is happening. Same thing is true with God. God's presence fills all things. The grace of God is being made available to us in every circumstance, in every situation. The peace of God is already within us. You may not be aware of it, but that doesn't change the fact that it's true. When you are able to come to the recognition of it, when you do become aware, that's when you truly begin to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Here's the fourth one. Celebrating all human beings as image bearers and children of God, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, age, physical or mental ability, nationality, or economic class. And I hope we covered all the categories. This place of worship is open and welcoming to everybody. And when we say that, we mean it. We take seriously the calling that we have to follow Jesus on the way of radical self-giving love and inclusion. Because we believe that all of us, every single human being, we're not separate from one another. We are all one. We are one big human family. There's one passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians that actually says, there is one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and through all. Are you able to recognize this essence of divinity, this light of Christ within every person that you meet? It's easy to see that light in the people who are like us. But Jesus said, what good is it if you only love people who love you in return? The real test of love is when you're able to love those who are different than you. Even going as far to say real love is about loving your enemies. I was at a multi-faith event last year, and one of my Jewish friends told me the story of two rabbis who were debating about what the most important passage of scripture in all of the text is. What is the most important passage of scripture? And one rabbi said, I believe the most important passage of scripture is the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated, or love your neighbor as yourself. For those of us who are lovers of Jesus, we know this was also Jesus's opinion. Jesus said the most important commandment is to love God and to love others. And every other commandment is fulfilled in living out those. Well, the other rabbi who was there disagreed with the first rabbi. And he said, no, that's a good verse, but I don't think that's the most important verse. He said, in my opinion, the most important verse in the entire scriptures is a verse found here in the book of Genesis. It was a very obscure passage, and it began by saying, these are the generations of Adam, or these are the descendants of Adam. Now, at first, this kind of sounds odd. Like, why would he pick this verse as the most important one? These are the descendants of Adam. These are the generations of Adam. And then there's this long list. If you've read through the Bible, you've seen those long lists of genealogies. Well, the word Adam in the Hebrew can literally be translated as humankind. And for him, the reason why this verse was the most important was because what this verse tells us is that all of us as human beings are descendants of the one Adam. All of us come from one source, which means all of us are one big human family. How different would our world be if we could truly see one another in that way? If we can see God in each other, if we can see ourselves in one another. See, if Muslims are image bearers of God, we don't need to fear them. If atheists are image bearers and children of God, we don't have to be threatened by them. We can love all people. We can embrace all people because all people are a part of the family of God. In Acts chapter 17, Paul said, we are all his offspring. This leads me to the last one that we're going to cover today. Number 5, seeking peace and justice for the outcast and oppressed, and standing in solidarity with the marginalized and the afflicted. See, at the center of Christianity is the cross. We just finished celebrating the cross and the resurrection last week as we came together to reflect on Good Friday and on Resurrection Sunday. And see, on the cross, Jesus was suffering at the hands of injustice. Jesus was suffering at the hands of violence. Jesus was suffering at the hands of oppression. Jesus was suffering at the hands of marginalization. Well, when you look out at life through the lens of the cross, what you see when others are suffering injustice and when others are being marginalized and oppressed is the cross. What you see in that suffering that others are experiencing is Jesus himself. And so that moves us in love and compassion towards those who have been forgotten, towards those who have been tossed aside by our society, towards those who everyone else has excluded and says does not belong. So I hope today that this can give you just a small, tiny glimpse of what we're all about in this community. And yes, even though we're not able to gather together in person right now, we're still able together to recommit ourselves to actually living out these values in our everyday life. And so as you do this, know that you're not doing it by yourself. We're all doing this together. And I pray that God would flood your life with wisdom, with love, with comfort, with peace, with revelation, as you give yourself to God and to others in this total and complete way. We love you. Thanks for joining us again this morning. We'll catch you again next weekend.